Monzo family. Angelina, good play, and God bless you. All right, 2 Timothy chapter
7. Are we on? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I'll give you a second to find it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Good to see you, folks. Thank you for coming. I'm still reeling from the salvation this morning. I was telling someone, I hope I don't, but if I was to preach a dud message, it wouldn't matter because someone got saved today. Praise the Lord. But hopefully I don't preach a dud. Amen. If that, would you please stand if you could? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. I have one verse here for you tonight. Chapter 1, verse 7 of the book of 2 Timothy says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And tonight I want to preach on the simple topic of the coronavirus. Have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. I thank you again for the privilege we have to come before you, Lord. I pray you bless. Give me the words tonight, Lord. Give me the words to say. I pray be a help to the dear people. I don't come here as an expert. I don't desire that. All I want to do is just preach your word and be a help, Lord. I pray you'd use it as you may. I pray it do its part, Lord, in the hearts of the dear people. I thank you again for the fact that we're saved on our way to heaven. We know where we're going. I pray that would be something that will always be a major benefit and easier, as well as a major factor in our behavior, Father. We love you and thank you. Now, also we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. Let me just say right off the bat, if I can here this evening, the purpose of this message is not to criticize anyone or belittle anyone or the behavior that they may or may not be taking in response to this coronavirus initiative that is sweeping our nation, okay? The purpose of the message is not to criticize anybody. Whether you are taking extra precautions as a person or a family or not, I am not using this message as a tool of criticism. I don't ever want to be guilty of using this pulpit as a whipping post to come gun after people. I know the Holy Spirit does it very well. He can step on your toes as much as he wants, and that's his business. I'm just going to preach what God tells me to preach in a way and do it out of love. So again, I just want to be up front with y'all. This is not meant to criticize, to belittle, or to get on you by any means based on your behavior you show or not for this coronavirus initiative in our country. So I just want to be right up front with y'all if I could this evening. Having said that, let me get into the message if I can. Anytime one person or a group of people try to do things to put fear into your hearts, it is not of God, and therefore should be looked at with great concern. I'll say it one more time. Anytime one person or a group of people try to do things to put fear into your hearts, it is not of God, and therefore should be looked at with great concern. As far back as I can remember, our liberal media has been very good at doing just that. In every issue, I'm not talking about even today, in every issue, you go back to elections, you look at President Trump, I mean, you go back to anything that they were against, they made a very good job of trying to put fear or to change the behavior in that mindset. But my friend, fear is an excellent, it really is, fear is an excellent tool that can be used by one person or a group of people to control or act differently towards another person or another group of people. So let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here in the beginning. Go to Joshua chapter 9, Joshua chapter 9, verse 3 to 9. Joshua chapter 9, verse 3 to 9, if you would. Joshua chapter 9, verses 3 to 9. "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had come Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt." Here in these verses, you have the Gibeonites. And most know the story here. They acted deceitfully towards Israel. They acted like they had moldy bread, they had moldy bread. They had worn out clothing. They had expired drink to give the impression that they were coming from a long distance, a faraway country. Almost like to say Joshua and Israel, we're from far away. Therefore, you don't have to worry about us. We're not in the part of Israel that God had promised you. We're not in the land of Canaan. Therefore, make a league with us. The question is, why did they do that? Why did Gibeon change their behavior? Why did they have moldy bread? Why did they have to trick Israel? Look at verse 24, Joshua 9, verse 24. It says this, and they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives there because of you and have done this thing. They changed their behavior. Why? Because of fear. They were afraid of it. Well, Israel said, you know what? We're going to have to be deceitful with people. We're going to lie to them just so we can get peace. They will not kill us. It was fear that caused the Gibeonites to completely change their behavior. Let me give you a second example. Go to 1 Samuel 28, verse 4. 1 Samuel 28, verse 4, if you would. 1 Samuel 28, verse 4. It says this, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. Here the Philistines have come up to war against King Saul and Israel. I touched on that a little bit this morning in the introduction of the message. And in verse 5 it says, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart was greatly trembled. When King Saul saw the size of the Philistine army, it put fear in his heart. And that fear caused him to act in a different way. If you look at verses 8 to 9, 1 Samuel 28, verses 8 to 9, it says this. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? He goes to a fortune teller, as you know. Why? Because he needs to get a hold of Samuel, who was already dead. Obviously, God was not speaking to him through the Urim and the Thummim. He was not speaking to him because of his sin, and there was that what Saul had done. But in verse 9, we read that he had banned and forbade those fortune tellers from being in the land. But who does he go to for help? A fortune teller. The same exact person he told people not to go to. Again, why? Because of the fear he had of the Philistines. So the point I'm trying to make in this introduction tonight, that fear is a very powerful tool to be used to change the behavior of others. Now, with that introduction in mind, I want to look at this topic for the evening, the coronavirus, if I can. Obviously, unless you have your head buried somewhere in the sand, you have probably heard by now of the virus known as the coronavirus. I'm sure all of us have heard of it and very familiar with it in one way or another. And I just want to give you tonight a few practical things that I believe can be of help in situations like this. Just some things that can be of help to us practically speaking. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. But just saying, I did a lot of research. I try to study to show myself approved for this message to you this evening. But I just want to give you some help, some practical things, biblically in nature, to be a help to us in dealing with this situation. So number one, like I said, like this, I have 3 points. Number one, in situations like this that can cause fear and panic, think things through logically. In situations like this that can cause fear and panic, think things through logically. 2 Timothy 1:7 again. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, I already mentioned in the introduction that a spirit of fear does not come from God. And if it doesn't come from God, then it comes from Satan or our own flesh. We understand that, okay? But the verse does end by telling us what God does give us. Power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind, to think things through logically. Now, let me just touch on this. It's kind of interesting how this whole thing, I prepared this message late last night, finished it up for this morning, And here I open the paper, the front page of the Quincy Herald Whig, and here it is, Church in the Age of Coronavirus. I don't know if some of you might have saw the article or not. I was reading the article. I came across a quote by one of the, they interviewed several leaders of different churches in the area. The Reverend Jason Somerset of Central Baptist Church was interviewed. And this is what he said, or it was said about him. I'll quote verbatim what this article says. He doesn't remember a time when public health officials urged churches to cancel services. Central Baptist Church plans to have services. And this is what he says in quote. One thing I have said is that while we want to be prepared for what may come, we also don't want to live in a spirit of fear, but in strength. We don't want to give into fear, Somerset said. We don't fellowship with Central Baptist Church because we're not like-minded with them, but I appreciate that quote. I thought it was pretty much right on, spot on by him. So the point is, we understand we don't have a spirit of fear, but he's given us a sound mind. So let's logically use a sound mind to look at this coronavirus and ask and answer some questions. The first question I want to ask is this. How did the coronavirus originate? Now, I'm going to read word for word. I'm not going to give you my opinion because that's not what I'm interested in giving you. Everyone has their own opinion. I'm going to tell you what I've tried to research conservative places that would be helpful in terms of getting answers. And I'm just giving answers. Again, I'm not saying you're doing what right or wrong. That's not the point of the message. Just to help us, at this point at least, to think things through logically. And question number one, how did the coronavirus originate? I'm going to read this verbatim as it comes from FoxNews.com. The World Health Organization's China office says it began receiving reports in late December of a mysterious virus behind a number of pneumonia cases in Wuhan, a city in eastern China with a population of roughly 11 million people. Researchers suspect the virus originated at a seafood market in Wuhan where wild animals, including birds, rabbits, bats, and snakes are traded. It was initially believed that the virus came from snakes, but a research paper by a team of virologists at the Wuhan Institute for Virology suggests that the coronavirus more likely came from bats, which was also the source of the SARS outbreak. So we see, again, based on that, they believe it came from bats, and again, I forget the name of the type of disease where humans and animals mix together, but that's pretty much how they believe it started. Question number two, how does the coronavirus spread? This comes directly from the CDC website there, the Centers for Disease and Control, CDC website. The virus is thought to spread mainly from person to person between people who are in close contact with one another within about 6 feet. Through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. These droplets can land in the mouths or noses of people who are nearby or possibly be inhaled into the lungs. Similar how the flu is spread. Very similar how we get the flu. Same type of mindset. So we see it spread that way through droplets. Someone sneezes and it goes on and put it on their hand. They shake your hand and you get it and you touch your eye, your mouth, your nose. That's one way it can get. And so that's why a lot of people are wearing the masks because of that reason. So therefore, if you have it, it won't be transmitted because of that way through your mouth or through sneezing or things of that nature. Question number three, how do we minimize the threat of the coronavirus? How do we minimize the threat of the coronavirus? The World Health Organization gave their standard recommendations for the general public to reduce exposure to and transmission of the novel coronavirus. These include hand and respiratory hygiene and safe food practices. Frequently clean hands by using alcohol-based hand rub or soap and water. When coughing and sneezing, cover mouth and nose with tissue. Throw tissues away immediately and wash hands. Avoid close contact with anyone who has fever and cough. So this is what they say how to minimize. I'm not saying how to remove it, I'm saying how to minimize that. They're trying to find a cure for it at the moment, but that's how their recommendation. Washing your hands, using the sanitizer, things like just being careful when you sneeze. If you have a fever, just be careful maybe not coming to church, things of that nature. Keeping your things like that can cause, if you have it, the coronavirus. There are a lot of myths and rumors out there about the virus, so study to get the facts. And if you begin to let fear and anxiety to enter your mind to blow this out of proportion, know this is not from God. Having a sound mind and an understanding is of the Lord. So just look at some thoughts there again. So in situations like this that is causing fear and panic, think things through logically. I was out soul winning this week. Okay, I was trying mindful of that. If I come across someone, I talk to them, I'll try to shake their hand. When I leave, just be a gentleman to them after I'm done talking to them at the Lord, at the door about the Lord. But now I just don't shake their hands because I don't want to offend people. Some people don't want to shake hands. I understand that. It's fine. And so I'm mindful of those things. But, you know, again, there is such thing as going overboard. And that's where you be careful. I think I'm going overboard. So, again, think things through logically. Again, I'm not criticizing anyone for the behavior taking or not taking. Just trying to help you in some thoughts here biblically. Think things through logic. Number two, kind of very upfront point. Don't get out of control. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 2. It says this. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. It's an interesting way God has that phrase mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Don't be shaken in mind. Don't get out of control. I was thinking about this, folks. As born-again Christians, we should be the ones who have our feet firmly planted and the ones who have it, if you will, more together. We are the only ones on the planet, only ones as born-again Christians. And when I say we, I'm talking about Grace Baptist Church, born-again Christians, generally speaking. We're the only ones on the planet who have the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. The lost crowd doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The cults don't have it. Only the born-again Christians are the only ones on the planet have God, living inside of them. Just, that's kind of important. We're the only ones who have the promise of another life that involves a new body, a new life, and a new outlook with Jesus Christ being with us forever. My point is, we have a Heavenly Father who will never leave us nor forsake us. So we shouldn't be out of control because we know where we're going. Look, listen, you can go to medicaldaily.com and it will tell you that the coronavirus is 20 times deadlier than the flu. That's what they'll say. I've been on the website last night. But then you can go to usatoday.com and they'll say the exact opposite. They'll tell you that there are 3 to 5 million deaths worldwide. They'll tell you that there are 3 to 5 million cases worldwide of the flu with 650,000 deaths every year. And the coronavirus does not meet the magnitude with it because it has an 80% survival rate, a lot better survival rate than the flu. You'll go to one website, they'll say one thing. One website, they'll say another thing. Hey, don't be shaken. Again, I'm not criticizing people for taking different steps. People take different steps. Some people take different steps than others. That's fine. I'm not criticizing you. But don't get to the place where we get, like the last one, get caught up in fear. Hey, you know where you're going, my friend. You're on your way to heaven. Listen again. I'm not going to throw caution to the wind. I'm going to do my due diligence and try to protect myself. But the fact of the matter is, my friend, there can come out a disease tomorrow that can make the flu and the coronavirus look like child's play and have massive casualties. I know where I'm going. Look, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, and you might disagree with me, but I'll say it one more time. The media loves taking a hold of this fear. They do. They use it because they know they can control people by it. Now, and also, I'm not trying to be, how can I say it? I hope it's not too strong a word. A freak? I hope it's not too strong a word. In a sense where if Quincy says all churches got shut down, okay, we'll shut our doors, but we're still going to meet at different homes. I understand that in that regard, but I'm going to still meet at different homes because we're still going to have church. You understand what I'm saying? Look, there's a balance there, but my point is, my point is, my friend, we're going to do our part to do stuff. I know Brother Treber, Jack Treber, North Valley Baptist Church. I appreciate his ministry. He's a good, solid pastor. I think he has a good ministry. The command isn't the right word. They were, what's the word? They were required by the state of California. If you have, I think it's 100 or more people gathered together, you have got to shut your doors. They have more than 100. So what he did is online streaming. Okay. He said, okay, fine. I'll honor the state in that regard, but I'm still going to have church. You understand what I'm saying? Look, hey, not shaken. You're still in your Bible. You're still doing right. You're still honoring God. Hey, look, until God tells me not, people tell me not to, I'm out knocking doors next. I'll be out knocking doors this week. Still do your part, my friend. And again, people have different views on terms of health. That's fine. I'm not criticizing you for that. But be careful. Don't get out of control. Now, again, like I love how he said, not soon shaken in mind. Steady. So number one, in situations like this that is causing fear and panic, think things through logically. Number two, don't get out of control. And number three, understand there will always be something that will sound disastrous. There will always be something that will sound disastrous. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. My friend, listen, there is a real enemy out there today. He knows how we operate. He did a good job with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He knows how to put fear in people. And you can say I'm just being overreactive, but I really believe he is behind a lot of this disease like the coronavirus. Look, the church are shutting their doors. Some are not having service at all. One good thing is the Mormons shut their doors. Praise God. Amen from someone tonight. I'm trying to look on the find the silver lining in the cloud. But look, we have a real enemy who wants to wreak havoc in our world and put fear in people's hearts. And disease is one thing he does to get that accomplished. Let me illustrate, and I'll be honest with you, I can't take credit for all this. Mr. Treber, I listened to his message, and he gave me this idea. This is all my own personal study. I did all the research, but he gave me the idea for this, and kind of so I have to give credit to him. But let me illustrate. The bird flu originated in 1918 and 1919, and since 2003, there have been 124 worldwide deaths. Remember the bird flu, all the havoc that was all crazy? People going crazy about it. The swine flu, H1N1 disease, which originated in 1930 and has caused 575,400 worldwide deaths. Remember that, H1N1? That was everywhere, wreaking havoc. People were just crazy about it. The Zika virus, originated in 1947, has caused one death in 2016. MRSA, originated in 1961, has caused 9,000 deaths per year. Remember that? Remember we heard Bathing at MRSA. Mad cow disease originated in 1986 and has caused four deaths in the United States of America. The SARS, S-A-R-S, that's a big one that's been very recent, originated in 2002 and has caused 774 worldwide deaths. The coronavirus originated in 2019 and has killed 5,074 people worldwide and 69,943 have recovered, 80% recovery rate. Remember that. And then the flu, which I couldn't find an original date when it originated, has caused 650,000 worldwide deaths every year. Look at majority of these, 90% of these viruses and flus came out, the media ran with it. Man, this is gonna be the next big thing that's coming down the pipe that can be the disaster and destroy God's people. The point is there will always be some disease that'll be used and the media will run with that to strike fear in the hearts of God's people. If we understand that, it will help us in dealing with it. We're on our way to heaven, my friend. That's where we're going. You take precaution. You take for your family. You do your part. But man, just understand who we are and who the enemy is, and be mindful of what he is doing. By the way, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, my friend. Don't forget that. I'll say it again. I'm not trying to make you walk out of here and throw caution to the wind. Do your part to protect yourself. But don't walk out of here like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. Woe is me. I'm born again. I got the Holy Spirit inside of me. I know where I'm going. Praise God. I love how Brother Trevor said it. If another virus comes in here, which kills all of us, praise God, I'll be in heaven. Amen. I was at a party. Yeah, I love how he said it was a blessing. I was shouting. Amen. My kids were like, what in the world? But actually, you're used to that by now. But anyway, but look, hey, so understand it will help us in dealing with it. We understand who the enemy is. Don't be surprised if tomorrow, next year, something comes up. Obviously prepare, and we don't want things. We want to see God do revival. I was thinking about, I think it's 2 Chronicles 7:14, that the verse of revival, the end of it says, I will heal their land. I believe if God brings revival, these things will go away. And by the way, I mentioned this morning in Psalm 103, verse 3, about God, he healeth all thy diseases. He still can heal, my friend. He's still in control of this. He can easily bring healing to us. He can help us. God is not dead. He's not the author of confusion. We serve a mighty God, praise God. Don't forget that. Don't live in fear. You know where you're going. This is not home. We're just passing through. Now let me wrap all this up with this thought. God gave me this thought as I'm preparing the message, and it just was a blessing to me. Most of you are aware of the story of David and Goliath over there in 1 Samuel 17. Obviously, we are aware that Goliath, he was the person who struck fear in the hearts of the Israelites to the point they didn't want to act. If you will, Goliath is a picture of a virus. You understand what I'm saying? He was that tool, right, used by the enemy. The Philistines were God's enemy or God's people's enemy. And he was a tool used by them to put fear in the hearts of Israelites. And he did a great job. Nobody wanted to stand up to him. Nobody. There was not one person that raised their hand except for one little boy. And here was I started thinking, what was it? Why? What? Or I guess my question is, what was it that was different about David that caused him to stand up and act when all the other Israelites, not any other person would? Why was David different? If he had fear, he didn't show it. And we know if he had fear, he didn't let it stop him from serving God. What was it? And that just kind of struck me. And to answer that, if you go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 46, I think we can kind of get the answer. This is what David said when he's running, about to run towards a man who is 5-6 feet taller than him and who's a veteran military might in the Philistine army, and he can, on paper, could destroy David. This is what David says to him. He didn't say, let me hide in my house and be afraid of the liberal Philistine army. No, so he said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What was the difference that caused David to act? It was simply, I believe, that David understood there was a God in heaven who's alive, and he trusted God. Trust God, friend. Trust him. It just blew me away thinking about that. It just hit me last night. Why? David acted so different than the rest of them because he trusted that God could. God was able. I read two quotes recently that fit with this final thought here this evening. The first quote was from a man in the ministry who is in heaven today, A.W. Tozer. He said this, While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes there is a God who hasn't surrendered his authority. While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes there is a God who hasn't surrendered his authority. And one I liked a little better was a quote from Pastor Jeff Fugit, who I mentioned earlier before the message. He said this: years ago, a group of Christians were with D.L. Moody on a ship as a fearful storm arose. They asked Moody why he was not afraid. He said, "I was just at the front of the ship, and I saw the captain's face, and he was smiling." And Brother Fugit ends by saying, "Folks, I saw the captain this morning, and he was smiling. Fear not." And I gave goosebumps just reading that. Hey, you want to stay level-headed? You want to be in a mindset where you can not be soon shaken in mind? Stay in this. Spend time with him. Don't let it get out of control where you let that stuff consume you, because it easily can. Folks, I'm not criticizing you for how you're dealing with this disease. I'm not. And that's not the point of the message. Hope you didn't take that from the message. But don't let fear and panic control you. But rather, stay in control, because God is still on the throne and you as a Christian still know where you're going. And understand that Satan will use diseases, anything he can, such as diseases, to put fear in people's heart. Don't be surprised when it does come. I want to be a David. I mean, you heard that so many times in different applications and angles. So this mindset, we're looking at a disease, which, yes, it is a disease. Yes, it is a virus. I'm not trying to minimize that. But I'm looking at it from an angle like David. I trust God. He's still on the throne. He's very much alive, and he's still in control. As long as I spend time with him, as long as I know he's in control, that's going to help give me peace of mind and comfort that I'm following the one who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And ask you all to bow your heads and close.